Shalom Aleichem, Mishnah Yomi is continuing with our final day of Erevin, tomorrow, God willing, Pesachim. So we are in chapter 10, Mishnah Yud Dalet, or Yad, which is appropriate here. Kohen shaloka be'etzbayu, a Kohen with an injury on his finger. Korech olav gemi b'mikdash. He can wrap reed grass around this injury in the temple of olav medina, but not outside of the temple. Again, medina here usually means provinces or countryside, means anywhere outside the temple. And as we have seen the past couple days, that a shvut, a rabbinical prohibition on Shabbos, which is designed to prevent people from doing a more serious biblical prohibition, was not forbidden in the temple, but it was forbidden outside of the temple. So here, just wrapping this reed as a sort of quasi-bandage around his finger, just so people aren't going to see the wound or it won't be bleeding while he's doing the avoda, was allowed in the temple for the needs of the temple service, the avodah. Now, as we have seen, if it would make a chatzitza, it would make an interposition, a barrier between his hands and the avoda itself, if where he's holding a kli or an animal or whatever it is, that would be problematic as a chatzitza, so maybe the injury is on the back of his hand or the back of his finger. And if he's using something that's a beged, something that's cloth or clothing, you have another problem of yitzer begodim, of adding to the big day kahuna that we learned about recently in the parsha last week. So if you add on extra big day kahuna, you have an extra problem. Now the Mishnah here continues, im lahotzi dam, if he's using a bandage or something to force blood out of the wound, konvikon usser, bringing blood out of something is wounding. It's forbidden on Shabbat as a tolda, a sub-malacha of shochet, of slaughtering. So that's usur everywhere on a biblical level. The Mishnah continues, bozkin melech olgabe kevish. You may spread salt over the ramp in the temple. Bishvil shalo yacholiku. So they don't slip and slide on the ramp. It was a fairly steep ramp. It could get bloody or greasy or rainy or perhaps icy. So you could have salt there so they don't slip while they're walking. Now, this was a shvut because it resembles building. The salt would get absorbed there where you are and sort of add on to the existing material. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they would sweep that ramp clean because the Mizbeach has to be specific dimensions. You can't start adding layers of salt or sediment or mud or schmutz to the, you'd have to sweep it clean. Whereas outside in the Medina, they might put salt down, but then not sweep it clean. So it would be a shvut. And the Mishnah continues, Memalin b'bor gola. They may draw water from the Boragola, is like the well that the exiles dug when they returned to Yerushalayim. The Boragodol, or from the great well, Begolgol, using a water wheel by Shabbat. Now, Golgol could mean it's like a pulley system, that the pulleys help you lower the buckets down. It could be an actual water wheel or something, some sort of mechanical connivance to make it much easier to draw water. These ones were specifically allowed by the prophets. The last three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, came back from Bavel to Yerushalayim and said, we're going to allow use of this well. There's a tzorech on Shabbat, even using a water wheel. And the mission concludes here, Meber Haker, the Rambam says, has Yerusha Haker, B'yom Tov. And this was a well outside of the temple, a flowing well, and you could draw from there even on Yom Tov. And this last well was even outside the temple. Even though it was in the Medina, the prophets allowed using it. There was a great tzorech. So even later on, when they said you shouldn't use wells and pulleys and things like this with mechanical assistance on Shabbat, this well had originally been used for that purpose by the prophets, so they did not change that ruling. Great, Mishnah 16, last Mishnah in Eruvin. Sheretz, Shnimzah b'mikdash. They found a sheretz. A sheretz, sometimes we call bugs a sheretz, but it's actually, there's eight specific shratzim, and there's a list of them in Vayikra chapter 11, Leviticus chapter 11. Some of them are kind of vague, we're not exactly sure, like toads are a sheretz, but frogs aren't. Certain lizards might be, according to some opinions, crocodiles, moles, things like, kind of creepy, crawly creatures is a sheretz. But it's eight specific ones that have a special tuma, they're an ava tuma when they're dead, but they're still moist. So one of these is in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a problem because that can spread tuma all over everything and everyone. So what do they do? Kohen motzio behem yonu. A priest can pick it up using his hem. He's actually using his belt, his sash. One of the big day kahuna is Avnate. Shalola shahot at the tuma. So we don't have tuma waiting around in the base of Mikdash. We want to get it out as soon as possible. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. He says, even though you're picking up with your sash, and the sash is going to get tame. The sash is a kli. It's a piece of article of clothing. And the sheretz is an av hatuma, a first generation source of ritual contamination. So that sash is going to become tame, but even so, we don't want it to hang out there in the temple. And some people might step on it barefoot, of course, according to more barefoot. If they stepped on it barefoot, then they would become tame themselves, which is even worse than a kli, with the sash becoming tame. And it could touch all sorts of kalim, it could make all sorts of problems. Let's get it out of there as soon as possible. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, bitzvot shel etz. They would bring tongs made of wood, shel robot at the tumah. So we don't make more things tame. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, even if you have to wait a minute or two, so somebody's going to bring the tongs, so you're not contaminating somebody's clothing, you're not contaminating Big Day Kahuna. You wait until you get proper tongs. You don't have to actually like pick the thing up using your sash, your avnate as a glove. You know, use some things, you're not touching it directly. And it's really a great machlokas about dealing with problems in life. Certain problems, you just want to get it out of there right away. And other ones, you want to sort of plan about how to best approach it without causing other problems as you solve this issue. And of course, as we see, different people can have a different approach to the same sort of problem in life. But let's go on with the Mishnah here. Mehecha Matzinato, from where must you remove the dead sheretz? Min ha'echol, from the temple building itself. Min ha'ulam, that's the front building, the antechamber, that's wider in front. Mibein ha'ulam ha'mizbeach, between that chamber and the altar, that was a specially kadosh place, those 22 amot in between. The Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas. Rabbi Akiva Omer, makom shechayivin azdo nekarit lo shegat l'chotot. He says any place within the temple where somebody who's tamei would be chayiv karet, excision, spiritually being cut off, for going in on purpose, or chayiv a chatas, a sin offering for going in by mistake when he is tamei. So that's a place where we're very sensitive to tumah, to ritual impurity. Misham mitzinoto. From there, we remove the sheretz. And this does come up. Lamaisa, there are poskim. Of course, we're just learning Mishnah here. We're not poskining any important shilas, but there are poskim who allow Jews to go up on Har Abayis, on the Temple Mount, in certain locations. And some people are aware of these certain locations that are sensitive to Tuma and can give halakhic guidance if they hold of that psak. So this Mishnah is, of course, nogeya to that opinion. The Mishnah continues, Ushar komakomot, in other places that are not Tuma sensitive, kofin alav psachter. You get a big pot and you cover up the bug so it can't spread Tuma, so people know not to touch it and not to mess with it. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Finally, the Mishnah ends with Rabbi Shimon, and this statement is going back on a couple days when he's talking about tying the strings of your instruments in the temple. It says, Makom she'tiru lecha chachamim, a place where the sages allowed you when they gave you a heter. Mishalcha netanu lach, they're really giving back to you what was already yours, meaning you had permission to do something on a biblical level. The sages came along and saw that allowing that specific activity could lead to a severe problem, a biblical malacha, a biblical issue. And so they said, listen, we're not going to do A because A is close to B, and B is a biblical level, harsh level prohibition. So if they allow you to do A, it's really they're giving back what you'd really be allowed to do on a biblical level. Shelo hetiru lecha ele mishum shvut, because they're not allowing you to do it only because it's a rabbinical decree that they are relaxing here in the Mikdash. So what he's referring to in the Gemara is when they were tying their broken harp strings, they had to tie, he is being machmir, saying you can't even tie the harp string with a temporary knot because you might use a permanent knot, where the other sages say you could use a temporary knot, bedavka, you have to, but you cannot use a permanent knot because that is a biblical prohibition. Mazel tov, and tomorrow, God willing, we'll be out into doing Pesachim, which is, Baruch Hashem, very fortunate, because we're about 3 weeks out from Pesach, so we're going to get a nice chunk of Pesach under our belt before we get the Afikomen in our belly. Mazel tov, and be well.